Me.
Focus Features presents Back to Black.
I want people to hear my voice and just forget their troubles.
Experience the music and her story.
Know this,
I ain't no Spice Girl.
Like never before.
That's my daughter, that's my Amy.
On the big screen.
I want to be remembered for just being me.
Amy Winehouse, Back to Black, directed by Sam Taylor Johnson. Rated R, under 17, not a minute without parent. Only in theaters May 17th.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in L.A., and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy, and I'm your host, Elliot Connie. Jay is the woman in this dynamic who is currently co-parenting two young boys with her former partner, David.
David, he is a leader. He just don't want to leave me.
But how do you lead a woman? How do you lead in a relationship? Like, what's the blueprint?
David, you just asked the most important question. Listen to Family Therapy on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart for a year, and what a year it has been. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Make Woke AF Daily your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, man! It's Behind the Bastards, a podcast about the worst people in all of history that sometimes, boy, there's a lot of books that I have to read for this podcast, and that is exhausting. So every now and then, we like to do a little bitty episode that is easier because I don't have to read a book. I just have to read a book. But in this case, I get to read it live to my friends, Katie Stoll and Cody Johnston. Some more slash even more news multiverse, which is a lot like the Marvel multiverse in that Chris Evans is heavily involved in both.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's the same. They're part of the same universe.
Part of the same universe. That's right. Cody, you are famously playing She-Hulk in a new series of movies. And Katie, a lot of people don't know this, Iron Man's stunt double in all of the original Iron Man movies.
For the last 20 years.
Yeah, for the last 20 years, that's right. Hey,
sorry that dried up for you.
Yeah, it does. It is a shame that it's no more Iron Man roles, but I have a feeling we're all going to do fine in this new career we have, in which we're going to be reading a very special book by Rush Limbaugh titled Rush Revere and the Brave Pilgrims.
Wait, fuck you, man. Hold on. Yeah. When you showed me this book, I didn't realize he wrote it.
Oh, I mean, allegedly.
I thought
allegedly
it was just like some bizarre like fan fiction that you got on like...
No, look at this. Look at this cover.
What?
I want you to look at this fucking cover. Stare into it.
Looks like a Romance Manson novel, kind of.
It's
between this person
does.
And their horse.
Yeah, you've got like a big-headed caricature drawing of Rush Limbaugh in colonial garb and his horse. And I know because I've read a couple reviews of this. That's his sidekick. He's a talking horse.
The
plot of these stories, as far as I have learned from reviews, I haven't read the book yet, but I've read some reviews, is that Rush Revere is like a history teacher at a public school, and he goes back in time to teach kids the history of the United States of America.
This is fucking amazing.
Yeah, I mean, these are number one New York Times best-selling books, and one of the things, there's a lot
you liar, you want to lie.
What I hate about them is that they're they're really quality printing jobs. Like, people talked about that in the reviews, but like, no, like, look at this. Look at it. Like, well, beautiful, you know, illustrations.
Oh,
and coloring,
it's got, yeah, photos and
like,
stuff.
These are, this, it's a
did,
really
did
well
he do the photos?
Put together book. Well, he hired
love a,
somebody.
Love a
he
book that feels someone. Nice. But, a good feeling book.
Like, I hate all of the resources that clearly went into making this very well put together book on an aesthetic level. And then look at this fucking back cover. Like, oh, it's like Rush Limbaugh, an actual picture of him, like, standing and smiling.
I mean, we need to also clarify.
Is he wearing a leather jacket? He looks like a substitute.
Yeah, he's wearing a fucking leather jacket. He looks like the substitute teacher who, like, comes in a leather jacket with a helmet and, like, tells you he's ridden a motorcycle to work. But then, like, later in the day, one of the kids makes fun of his name and he just, like, slaps the kid. And then you have to have, like, a meeting with the principal about how he's not going to be allowed to be a substitute teacher.
To borrow
teacher.
A phrase from Cody, it's very weekend dad. It's very weekend dad vibe.
Yeah,
and then
weekend,
I think the thing that we have failed to describe for our listeners is that the cover, the Paul Revere and the horse, it is Rush Limbaugh's face on Paul Revere's body, if I'm not mistaken, right?
Oh, it certainly is. Yes,
yeah,
there's
that cherub-like face with a jaunty pilgrim hat. And
yes,
he's talking horse, apparently. New York Times bestseller, eh?
So I got this in the mail. I did not purchase this book. I got this in the mail with this card, which is covered in a bunch of obscure runes and a drawing of Cthulhu. And inside the card, I'm going to read this. It's from Kimberly and Thor. My husband and I are huge fans of the show. We have learned so much and also died inside from how shitty humanity can be. We were at a thrift store recently and saw this book amongst the hardback copies of individual books and knew it was perfect for you and the gang. And then she says the author's note had me in stitches. So I feel like we have to start with that author's note.
And first off, Kimberly and Thor, I want to thank you.
I nailed it.
So thoughtful. We haven't even read the book
with
yet. And I know you nailed it with the hammer of Thor.
I might, instead of saying thank you, say for thank you, like a mix of fuck you and thank you.
For thank you.
For thank you. Yeah. Interestingly, so this is in The Brave Pilgrims. Okay, so it starts off, we've got a drawing of the Mayflower that, as far as I can tell, is pretty accurate drawing.
It's got like
of
a
the
legend.
Mayflower.
It's got like little notes.
That seems fine. A note from the author. We live in the greatest country on earth, the United States of America. But what makes it so great? Why do some call the United States a miracle? How did we become such a tremendous country in such a short period of time? I'm going to answer that for you, Russian. The answer is genocide. Several genocides, one of which was an enslaving genocide. Yeah. So that's good, but he says instead of after that saying genocide, he says, after all, the United States is less than 250 years old. I want to try and help you understand what American exceptionalism and greatness is all about. It does not mean that we Americans are better than anyone else. It does
it
not mean that
we think we're better than everyone else.
That is literally what we says, because he's like, it doesn't mean that there's anything different to us as human beings or that we've never faced problems. American exceptionalism and greatness means that America is special because it is different from all other countries.
What
in
the
history.
Fuck? That's the
it's
same
different.
Thing.
It's
you're
no
the same
Cody.
Thing.
It's you're not saying the same. It's not special because we're inherently better. We're just different in a way that's exceptional.
We're
and that's not
we're,
saying that we're better. We're just
like,
exceptionally
like special,
different.
We're exceptionally, it's like a special difference that is like above everybody.
So like
we're not
separated.
Better, we're just more exceptional.
The Roman Empire practiced chattel slavery on a massive scale, and the Mongolians carried out a series of horrific genocides in order to colonize large areas of land. But those are different than what the United States did because the people spoke different languages.
Oh.
See, they were speaking like Latin and whatever
Mongolian.
No, we did it. We did that stuff when while speaking English, which means it's fine. Mm-hmm. It's okay. It's good that
this
we
makes
did it.
So much more.
That's
sense
what
now.
Makes us special is that we spoke English.
The words that we used were the same meanings of the words, more or less. But
yeah, absolutely the same meanings, but different words.
Different sounds.
Mm-hmm.
That's
mm-hmm.
all that matters.
Yeah. So I'm going to continue with Rush here. It is a land built on true freedom and individual liberty, and it defends both around the world. So there's another. I have notes on this one as well. I might refer people to our episodes on the CIA or on Henry Kissinger and all of the different times that the United States. But Rush was a big fan of all of the democracies we overthrew because they were generally left wing. I don't know. This is what's kind of one of the things I read when I was prepping for this was a Chicago Tribune review of this book, which I might pull up for a second. But basically, the author was like, yeah, Rush Limbaugh is like a right wing ideologue, but the book's actually fine. It doesn't have, you know, much that's objectionable and the history is OK. And it's like a pretty good children's book. And like as soon as reading it, what I think is dangerous about this is that Rush is obviously doing this to groom children. Right. Like that's the reason you write a book like this is to like groom children.
But I thought the left was full of groomers.
Well, we could talk about the age of women that Rush Limbaugh tend to do approach. Mm-hmm. But he's attempting to like inculcate kids with his ideas, and he's doing it, I think, pretty intelligently. And the fact that a guy who I think is probably more or less a centrist at the Chicago Tribune could read this and be like, well, this isn't very political, is evidence of how politicized to the right our history education is. Because like one of the things that guy I have to bring up the Chicago Tribune article because there's a quote from it that is, I think, like emblematic of kind of some of the things that most Americans just tend to kind of like accept as read and that I found kind of like unsettling. Here's the exact line. Rush's political viewpoint certainly shows up, but less than you might expect. He even defines American exceptionalism in a matter unlikely to offend Rachel Maddow, which I guess you might be right because she might not be offended, right, but also she just made a statement about how she likes hanging out with Tucker Carlson.
Yeah.
Again, there's a lot to say
did
about.
I missed that.
Yeah. She loves running into him. He's
they're all nice people to each other.
Nice people to each other. Exactly.
Yeah. Which is, for all of his flaws, one of the things I'll always like about Jon Stewart is he does not pretend to like people like Tucker Carlson.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, why would you?
Yeah, but anyway.
I mean, I know why they would.
Why they, because it's good for money. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, because they're all basically, whatever. Anyway. The role of the United States is to encourage individuals to be the best that they can be, to try to improve their lives, to reach their goals, and make their dreams come true. In most parts of the world, dreams never become more than dreams. In the United States, they become true every day. I had a friend with a dream of dying. Well, it was a nightmare, but it was a nightmare of dying from lack of affordable insulin. And then they did.
Mm-hmm.
That's a dream, a nightmare that came true.
That couldn't
have happened. Do you think that would have happened in Denmark? Do you think people are dying from lack of insulin in Denmark?
No, I think that dream
not.
That
filter.
Is a dream that will not come true in Denmark.
Those are specifically American dreams right
that
there,
That is an
my
American
friends.
Dream, baby.
That is like the exceptional American dream.
I mean, it's like other places in the world. Katie, I know you like poetry. You must have read A Dream Deferred by Langston Hughes, which is a poet about how dreams only come true in America.
Yeah.
If I'm remembering it properly.
Yeah, that's exactly right, Robert. You got that right.
That's what Langston was getting on about. We are a page into this book.
We are even past the foreword.
No, this is a note from the author. Foreword is kind of gauche.
I hope it talks about like his other titles. Like I was thinking about like Limbaugh Revere, Paul Rush Veer.
Honestly,
a lot of options. But.
I would completely change my opinion on this book if he'd had the courage to call his character Limbaugh Revere.
If he had the Limbaugh.
Yeah, if it had the
limballs, yes.
The limballs. Wow, that was a lot of hits right in a row there.
Wow,
all right, I'm going to continue. The sad reality is that since the beginning of time, most citizens of the world have not been free. I wonder.
Some sort of.
Where they weren't free.
Places
in the world
have
had unfree people in them?
Are you going to elaborate on the ways in which people weren't free in your book?
Mm-mm. No, I don't think they're going to, Katie.
Oh, okay.
For hundreds and thousands of years, many people in other civilizations and countries were servants to their kings, leaders, and governments. Now, I guess it's true that the first four of the five first presidents being slaveholders means they didn't have servants. They had slaves. And he does not list slaves on here. So maybe that's
I would
point
love
he's
to
making.
Do like
a search find.
Like, yeah, upload this to like a PDF and then
I'm
like,
sure there's a Kindle version, but I'm not going to pay for it.
Why?
We're reading this again. I have to say,
as
an author, a very well printed book. I hate how high quality the printing of this book is.
Yeah. Well, because it's like also like, are the pages aged or is that just like what it looks like?
No. That's just what it looks like. It's they did a pretty nice for like
what
a kid's
year was
book,
this published?
It's very recent because I can as a conservative like kid when I was like 9 or 10, I can imagine getting this book from a family member or something. And like 2013, 2014.
Okay.
Because there's two books in this. And this is a collection. It's an anthology.
The anthology.
Of the first
I
two
see.
Rush Revere novels.
Oh. How nice for him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we're talking about the people who for thousands of years were
If you look up the Adventures of Rush Revere, the category is adventure series.
Gather children and youth.
I love this idea of like, oh, I need a new adventure novel.
By Rush Limbaugh.
I mean, there's like, he got through like seven of these before
I'm
he finally.
I'm looking at it now. He's got a
croaked.
Lot.
Yeah. So we're talking about the people who for thousands of years were servants to their kings, leaders, and government. It didn't matter how hard these people worked to improve their lives because their lives were not their own. Imagine that! What a horror! They
Again.
Often feared for their lives and could not get out from under a ruling class no matter how hard they tried.
I can't with this guy.
Yes.
This is the beginning.
Inconceivable to an American living in bondage to a ruling class that responds with violence anytime you try to get out from under them. Something we can't comprehend here.
Just an unfathomable situation. Mm-hmm. Is this still the author's note?
Yes, this is still the author's note. We're barely making it sentence by sentence. Many of these people lived and continue to live in extreme poverty with no clean water, limited food, and none of the luxuries that we often take for granted. Many citizens in the world were punished, sometimes severely, for having their own ideas, beliefs, and hopes for a better future. The United States of America is unique because it is the exception to all this.
Shut the fuck up!
Our country is the first country ever to be founded on the principle that all human beings are created as free people. The founders of this phenomenal country believed that all people were born to be free as individuals.
I'm sorry. I'm just circling back to what you've already mentioned.
Rush.
But this article, a pretty accurate description, the author's note is completely false. It's all it's all lies.
It's an adventure tale.
But it's
Katie.
These are also he is what he's doing successfully here is he is reframing his specific line of right-wing bullshit, which most centrists dislike. Rush Limbaugh is not a guy who had a big listenership of centrists. And he's reframing it in a way that is very familiar to anyone who had an American grade school education and thus is like pretty inoffensive because people are kind of used to hearing it written this way. Like I can see how people who are not regular listeners of the Rush Limbaugh show could read the. I don't think any of them would buy it because what I will say, and this kind of mitigates the danger of this book, the only people who are going to see Rush Limbaugh on a book's cover and buy it for their kids are right wingers. But I can see how some like kind of centrist book reviewer could read this and be like, oh, it's actually not that bad because like he's saying
well,
what is the party
is
line,
conservative.
Right? Yes. Well, and it's just like this is It's cool. It's cool that he's doing this. I mean, then there's some like weird Thatcherite stuff here. America is a place where the individual person serves himself and his family, not the king or ruling class or government, which is like Margaret Thatcher's big thing is like, we don't have a society. There's no such thing as society. There are individuals and there are families, right? And this is like a very central conservative idea, in part because conservatism rests heavily on the atomization of the individual from other individuals. And like the best way to do that is to separate people into this false idea of a nuclear family that's like the building block of civilization, as opposed to communities of people like engaging with each other for mutual benefit and support, which is like what what where things actually happen. But if you get everyone atomized into this, like, no, you and your family are plotting, like, thinking, because what he talks about here, when people have the freedom to look for a better future, what he means is that you as an individual have a freedom to try and earn a better future for your family. But you as a person who is part of a collective, as part of a class, don't have any, like, that is not part of the conservative vision of freedom. Which is part of why, like, they love shit like the suburbs, because when you live in the fucking burbs, you are inherently separated from people who don't live there, right? Like, you're atomized. That's, anyway.
I mean, even in the suburbs, you're on a smaller, like, smaller level, you're separated from all your neighbors, too.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. This book on the Pilgrims is part of the great tale of how the United States came to be. The Pilgrims came to our shores more than a century and a half before our country was established in 1776. But their reasons for coming to the New World helped to sow the seeds of our nation. The story of the Pilgrims and their arrival in the New World has been taught for hundreds of years, and in that time, the story has been tweaked and changed by people to the point that it is often misunderstood. I want you to know the real story. Okay.
Oh boy, I bet you do not.
Yeah. And I bet all of our listeners want to know the real story, but you know what they want to listen to more?
Huh.
Ads for these products and services. Oh, yeah. Now,
an adventure, Katie, through products.
An adventure through products and services. Our primary sponsor for this week is my favorite sponsor, which is the organization with the plot to nuke the Great Lakes region, which I think we can all agree is a noble endeavor. Just get rid of them. Just get rid of those lakes.
Or
make the world...
Make them into one lake.
Make them into one lake. It's Whatever you do, just nuke them, you know?
Yeah.
Nuke the Great Lakes.
Or Dolly.
Anyway, here's our sponsors.
Or Dolly.
The evidence keeps pouring in. At this point, the facts are undeniable. It's an open and shut case. Monopoly Go is the most fun you can have in a mobile game. Millions of people pass Go every day because this game is always bringing something new to the table. Countless crazy tournaments you can join with your friends as partners or teams. Constantly changing challenges like money sprees or treasure hunts that keep it fresh with new wild minigames. Timed events offering bonuses like massive multipliers or rent frenzies to help you get huge rewards. And there's so many rewards to discover. Rare stickers you can trade with friends to complete albums, delightful emojis to taunt people with when you raid their riches, unique playing pieces, and so much more. The verdict is in with Monopoly Go. There's something new to discover every time you play. So don't miss out. Go download it now for free on the App Store and Google Play.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV True Crime Podcast, To Live and Die in LA. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turned sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Do you think Abuelita knows best? Wilmer Valderrama here, executive producer of the podcast De My Abuelita First. And we definitely do. Join us while our host Vico Ortiz and our abuelita Liliana Montenegro play matchmaker for you loving hopefuls out there. Vico?
Yes, yes, Wilmer. We are ready for another wild ride. Listen every Thursday as Abuelita Liliana and I meet three single cuties who will vie for a date with one lucky dater. Except, to get their heart, they have to win over Abuelita first.
How PG is this?
Not at all. Totally are. Abuelita's here, so bring it.
Through speed dating rounds, hilarious games, and AI, Abuelita's intuition, one contestant might be lucky enough to become the perfect match. Let's see if Chispas will fly or if these singles will be sent back to the dating apps.
Listen to De My Abuelita First as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What up? I am Dramos, host of the Life as a Gringo podcast. Now, this is a show for the No Sabo kids, the 200 percenters. Here we celebrate your otherness and embrace living in the gray area. If you ever felt like you were always too much this while also never being enough that, this is the podcast for you. Every Tuesday, I'll be bringing you conversations around personal growth, issues affecting the Latin community, and much more via my own personal stories, along with interviews with inspiring thought leaders from our community. Then, every Thursday, I'll be tackling trending stories and current events from our community that you need to know. So much of what makes our community so beautiful is our diversity, yet too often, those of us who don't fit into this dumb, stereotypical box of whatever it means to be Latino are left without a voice or just forgotten about. On this show, I celebrate the uniqueness of our culture and invite you to walk in your authenticity. Listen to Life as a Gringo as a part of the Michael Tura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
We're back. Sophie hates it when we talk about nuking the Great Lakes. That's because she thinks that all of the brave men on the Edmund Fitzgerald deserve to die. Sophie.
Wow.
Yeah, so wow. She is
nodding, nodding along.
Wow. Wow.
That's not, it's not to be fair, it's not the worst thing Robert's accused me of. So I'm like, eh, all right.
Okay. So, wow. So I was just praising the construction of this book, and most of like the illustrations are pretty well put in. This one is not. This one's not great.
I love it. I'm looking.
It is a very crude Photoshop of like a ruddy-faced pill addict Rush Limbaugh's head on a colonial body.
It's Jib Jab. It's a Jib Jab.
It's Jib Jab. It's from Jib Jab.
And his head's bigger than the body.
He's got a little map, and it says it's listing out like the Northeast Coast. It's got like Newfoundland, Cape Cod, New England, Virginia. But instead of spelling Plymouth right, I want you to see. Cody, can you read out how he spelled Plymouth? Or can you see? It's all reversed on the thing.
What the hell?
I'll read it. It's all going to be reversed on the thing.
Plymouth.
P-L-I-M-O-T-H.
Wait, no, fuck
Plymouth?
You. Wait.
Yeah.
Plymouth.
Yeah.
Why did he spell it Plymouth?
Oh, buddy.
Because nobody cared that much about the facts. They wanted to make this look enticing to kids. And I think it does. Again, it's a colorful book. But yeah, that's just shit.
Of him? Yeah, it's bad. It's bad. Nobody read it and cared.
Yeah. It was a New York Times bestseller. These were all number one on the bestseller list when they dropped.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But nobody cares.
We'll hope.
I mean, I can't speak for this book. I don't know the details. But a lot of these books, especially somebody like Rush Limbaugh, will buy them in bulk.
Yes.
You think Rush bought all his books?
So that they get on that New York Times.
It is unclear. I mean, again, Rush was on every day when I was a kid. So, like, a lot of people worshipped this dude. 2013 and 14 is a little bit past his best of date, but he was still influential. I mean, I don't really know. I can't. I obviously, because of things like that, because of how, like, effective the right is at gaming the New York Times bestseller list, I cannot tell you how actually influential these books were. But, I mean, just as a kid who listened to him almost every day for years and years, I do feel like there's a pretty decent chance there's a lot of kids who were like, because if you were 9 or 10 back when this book came out, you're 18 or 19 right now.
We got to have some listeners that have read these books.
Have actually, because it's like for middle schoolers and stuff. So like, yeah, they probably put them in school libraries.
10 to 12, 13, 14 maybe is kind of like the age for this. Maybe like 9 to 12, something like that. But I kind of suspect there's a lot of like Graper types who encountered these books when they were kids.
Yeah.
We'll see.
I'm trying to find the, because they have, usually the New York Times on their bestseller list, they have a little icon next to books on the list to indicate if a lot of them have been bought in bulk, because they know that that's one of the.
They probably didn't have that back then.
They probably didn't have it back then. I need to note real quick, sorry, the Jib Jab photo of him inside the book that you showed us.
Yeah.
The face of him, and you can confirm this for me if you could. It's the same photo from the cover. Mm-hmm. His head.
Yeah.
And it's the same head from the second and third book cover as well. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think they just keep sticking the same head.
Same expression.
And they just plop it on, which is inconsequential, but, you know.
Just a specific detail.
So the book opens with our character, Rush Revere, on the deck of the Mayflower, like vomiting over the side or trying not to vomit. He's like sick and queasy. Mm. He's just teleported to the year 1620 and only been on the boat a little while.
I tell you, when I think of Rush Limbaugh, I assume he's vomiting.
I'm also, he also makes me nauseous, so I get it.
I have to say, that is the only believable way to introduce a story with Rush Limbaugh as the main character.
I buy it. Historically accurate. I'm in.
Now, the best way, the most believable way for this to open is if he starts off vomiting, then guzzles down another three or four oxys and starts weekly masturbating to like a 40-year-old Sports Illustrated magazine. Yeah. That's really the intro to Rush that I believe
America.
The most.
Well, we'll see what happens next, I guess.
Yeah. This was not my first encounter with someone from the past. Although I was feeling extremely queasy, I tipped my hat and introduced myself while trying not to fall over. I'm not a saint or a separate... The guy has asked him, like, we should throw all you... Yeah, whatever. I'm Rush Revere, I said. I'm a history teacher from the 21st century. I've come to the 24th century? Blimey, you're mad. The whole lot of you. You think I care if you make it to New England? The sailor laughed. So this is a sailor who doesn't care about the people who are on the Mayflower because they're all religious extremists, which... Yeah, I guess fair. Okay, he pukes on this guy.
I know
guy
this is for middle schoolers, he probably didn't even write it, but that's really terrible.
Well, it's all terrible. So he pukes on this sailor, and the sailor threatens to beat him up, and so he runs to his horse, who is named Liberty, for help. Now, Cody, I know you have a lot of questions. The book's about to answer them.
Oh,
now look, I know what you're thinking. What's a horse doing on the deck of a Mayflower in the middle of a storm tossed sea? Good question. The truth is, my Liberty is no ordinary horse. All right. And then I was wondering that, I'm going to be honest. The surf and stuff, yada, yada, yada. The guy's threatening. Okay. So this dude is coming after him and he finds his horse. And his horse says, I hope you can fly. And Oh, yes.
Wait,
Liberty can talk.
That?
Yes. Oh, yes. Liberty can talk, writes Rush. I told you he wasn't an ordinary horse. Before the man could even turn around to see who had spoken, Liberty kicked his hind legs and sent the sailor sailing high into the eye. And then he fell into the air. And then he fell into a web of nets. Perfect shot, Liberty said. You appeared in the nick of time, I said, starting to feel sick again. Leaping into the Mayflower in the middle of a storm wasn't my idea, Liberty said, speaking very fast. Yes, I can leap to different times in American history, but I'm not the... Okay, so the horse is the time traveling device.
I see.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
Uh-huh.
You know, look, he's at least getting to the point here.
Yeah, he's also very hungry, which I'm not going to read all of the... That's apparently the thing that's funny, is that he only...
I know.
No, the horse. The, oh. Yeah, yeah.
Wait, this is the
Hungry
first
for
book.
Pills. This is the first book. Yes, Cody.
I know, like, it's, you know, it's customary, recommended. It's a good idea to, like, start in the middle of your action, you know? Like, there's... This is a really bad way to start this book series.
It is. So one of the things we learned here is the horse, because he gets so sick, takes him back to modern day America.
Medicine?
Well, in order to travel through time, the horse has to say a catchphrase. There's two different ones. To get back to the modern time, it has to say rush, rush, rushing from history. And then I'm guessing to history is the other way it works.
That's a reasonable guess.
Yeah, that's the prologue. Now we're in chapter one, where he's back at his job as a high school or middle school
just
or whatever,
like,
teacher. Yeah,
whatever.
Yeah, middle school. Yep. Yep. The school bell rings, yada, yada. Principal Sherman also comes into the class. Oh, boy, I wonder if Sherman's going to be the bad guy because Sherman beat the Confederacy. I don't know. We'll see if this principal winds up sucking.
That one.
The principal of Manchester Middle School was not a small man. If the door frame were any smaller, the principal would have to duck his head and twist his way into the classroom. I stood outside in the hallway as the door closed, but watched and heard what was happening through the door's small window. Attention, everyone. Please take your seats, said the principal with authority. He stood at the front of the classroom, hands at his sides, while his eyes scanned the desks and chairs. I have an important announcement. The room went silent. It was apparent that the Principal Sherman did not tolerate disrespect. I have some unfortunate news, he said. Your teacher, Miss Borrington, needed some extra time away from the academy to help care for a sick family member. In the academy? Nobody calls him middle school the academy.
The academy.
Okay, whatever. Anyway, he's introducing his substitute.
We had health insurance, and if nurses were covered, she wouldn't have to take time off from school. But
also,
yes,
doesn't Rush
care
like
about
not
that.
Think people should take time off and like would want this like teachers paid well, docked and stuff? And, like,
he does not explain this. He just calls it a middle school. But the fact that he says it's an academy and the principal announces that they have only the best teachers here, I think this is a fancy private school for rich kids.
Yeah, only the best teachers.
Yes, only the very best of teachers.
Say the exceptional teachers, I would say, actually, an exceptional school.
Oh, wow. So there's
more exceptional than others.
There's like a whole diatribe in here about the name Rush and how it's not a weird name. So he comes in and he like writes his name on the school board or on the chalkboard before I even and then like a girl raises her hand after he writes his name on the chalkboard. Before I had a chance to even call on her, she asked, "Your first name is Rush? That's weird. And why are you dressed like that?" she said. I could tell that this student was all business. If there were a pecking order in this class, she would probably be at the top of the food chain. I
all
looked
business?
At my seating chart and replied, "Thank you, Elizabeth. Do you go by Liz?" She rolled her eyes and nearly grunted. "No, unlike some people, I have a real name. It's Elizabeth." "It's a lovely name, if you like four syllables," I said, winking. "If you must know, my real name is Rusty, but when I was your age, my favorite class was history. In fact, I found myself rushing to history class every day I had it.
Oh,
I would rush from my home, rush down the street, and rush at the school until it was sitting
boy,
at my
he
desk.
Told her I
eventually
bet he's
my
cool
teacher
now.
Started calling me Rush and it stuck.
Is this a true story from his
no
life?
That's
no,
not
his
actual
name is Rush.
No,
his given name is Rush.
Yes, that's his actual given
Rush
name.
Rush Hudson Limbaugh.
Yes,
that's his fucking
wait, his
name.
Middle name's Hudson.
Yeah I love that. That's yeah
the third Rush Hudson Limbaugh the third.
Yes.
Rusty.
Oh,
fuck
boy.
You, Rush.
Yeah, it's fucking unbelievable. Like, first off, absolutely not. That's nobody's backstory.
Like, just like, you're like, doing like...
Boy, you guys were so horrified when I said,
would
is
say...
That-
well, Katie, I thought you were trying to slander the number one achievement in American artistic history, the film Hudson Hawk, which I will
no,
not
never.
Stand for
I
on
won't,
my podcast.
No.
Bruce Willis's greatest, nay, only contribution to civilization, the film Hudson Hawk.
We're talking, I'm going to let it slide, but.
Watch Hudson Hawk, people. Great film. So, yeah, he then explains why he's dressed. Apparently, he's dressed, obviously, the way he's dressed in the Jib Jab clip art on the cover as like a colonial dude. So he explains that. Can you anyone guess who I'm dressed as? Students raise their hands. They guess George Washington. Good guess, but no. However, I am dressed as someone who fought in the same Revolutionary War as George Washington, and they assuredly knew each other. Are you Thomas Jefferson? Asked another student.
Sure.
No. However, another good guess. Yada, yada, yada. He's Paul
they
just Revere, right?
They keep
he's
saying
Paul
more
Revere.
White men because they can't tell the difference.
Yes. Yes, it's fucking Paul Revere. So he has fucking interactions with these school children, which, boy, we just don't need to talk about that. Okay, then he brings his horse into class, Liberty.
How do you get the horse?
I don't think we're ever going to explain how he got the horse. I'm sure at some point we're going to learn where the horse came from. But yeah, he
but it'll be like we'll learn
class.
It through like somebody asking where'd you get the horse, and he'll explain it, and that'll be that.
All the kids
you can
are
bring
scared
a horse
of the horse,
to school?
Except for a girl named Freedom. Well, I did once go to a school where kids rode their
for
horses
a bit.
To school.
Yeah.
But that was
it was for a
nowhere.
Bit.
Yeah, it was for a bit.
What?
Okay, so let's move past this school section because boy, we just don't need this goes on for pages. They're just talking.
Get the to the history. About, what
yeah,
the heck?
We don't need any of this. So, Jesus God. Okay, finally, he takes a bunch of kids with him into the past. They go rushing to
did
history.
Parents sign a permission slip for that. I don't know.
I don't think about that. I assume all children and their parents consent to go back in time if the teacher can time travel.
If asked.
Yeah, that actually does seem fair. The trip
more
through
like
the time
the tragic school bus, right?
Oh, boy.
Guys, huh? No? Thank God we're cutting that.
No, we're just canceling it for that one. The trip through the time portal was like jumping through a hoop. Instantaneously, we landed in Holland. I quickly surveyed the geography and discovered we were in a field not far from the Dutch port of Delfshaven. Thankfully, we were alone.
Get to decide where he's going. He just hops on the horse and then like pops over to somewhere sometime.
Yeah, he's in fucking, I guess, Holland. Because that's where they set off from. He's looking for pilgrim, well, Puritans.
Right.
Oh, good. Sure. And now he's whitewashing the Puritans. This is great. The woman turned in my direction, but didn't stop walking. She stared at me as if I were some strange animal at a zoo. She quickly replied, "If you're looking for Puritans, you found us." These, the Puritans? I had always imagined the pilgrims as in clothing that was black, white, and gray. However, these people wore clothing that was dyed every color of the rainbow. A yellow shirt, blue breeches, green stockings, a red dress, a purple knitted stocking cap. I was sorely mistaken to think that I knew what the pilgrims wore every day. It was time to get my class involved. "Class," I said, "these are the real pilgrims." I pointed the lens of my smartphone towards the large group that had gathered. I guess they're watching it through his phone or some shit.
I'm sorry. He is not taking into account how irresponsible this is to just all of these children in a different time. I mean, you could drastically change the events of history.
I mean, that would be the best case scenario, right? If they somehow got these people killed and so they didn't colonize the North.
Yeah,
give him a few more years to get ready. All right, so we're learning about the fucking pilgrims, and boy, I just do not want to.
No.
I absolutely do not want to, because I know there's some weird socialism shaming coming in the part about the actual colony in that they make. And yeah, so let's skip forward to that a bit here. Boy, this has been like 10 pages of him talking about how cool the Puritans are. Because they separated from the Church of England, and how they really just loved liberty, as opposed to being weird religious extremists who wanted to be able to oppress people without being having to live under anyone else's rules. Anyway, I guess it makes sense that he would want to whitewash them for that, right? Yeah. So he travels back into the present, into the classroom, to talk to the kids about what they've learned, and then Principal Sherman walks in. Yeah, and it's a whole thing. The principal demands an explanation because he's heard some weird shit. An explanation, I stalled. Well, yes, of course. I realized that Principal Sherman would eventually find a yellow wooden shoe outside the classroom window, so I began. We were discussing the pilgrims and how they left England to escape religious persecution and settled in Holland along their journey to the New World. I brought a wooden Dutch shoe from my trip to the Netherlands as a bit of show and tell, and Principal Sherman interrupted me and said, pointing, "You mean like the one that's broken and splintered on the floor here?" I had forgotten about that one. Yes, and apparently wooden shoes are not very sturdy. Principal Sherman walked over to the window and saw the second shoe lying on the grass near a big oak tree. And yet that one looks just fine. I joined him at the window and said, okay, so this is all very boring.
Boring. It's very boring.
Yeah, it's very boring and bad. Okay. Wow.
When do we get into the fireworks fest?
There are surprisingly more random classroom bullshit and discussion of Puritans in here than there is actual narrative action going on.
Why?
Yeah.
I was told this was an adventure series.
Yeah.
Where's the adventure?
It looks like we're going to get some explanation here. So he has this kid, Tommy, who's like the little shit in the class, starts like bagging on him for his horse. Here's him explaining. This is the explanation for how the horse can travel through time. It appears that lightning may have struck Liberty and created a supernatural phenomenon or a time portal that thrust him forward in time to our day. The electrical properties that charged through his body and the vortex that sent him to the future changed him physically and mentally. He can not only talk and disappear, but he's also, I paused, trying to formulate the right words. Freedom finished my sentence and said, "A time machine." "What?" Tommy said, confused. "Did I miss something? Did you just say time machine?" "He's more like a time portal," I said to clarify. "He has the ability to momentarily open a time door anywhere in history. Well, more specifically, anything that touches American history." Tommy started laughing. "Okay, this is a joke. I'm on to you. This is some reality TV show called The Biggest Bozo Who Believes in It." Right? "Where are the cameras?"
That's
Tommy
right,
started
Tommy.
Looking around the room. He then looked back at Freedom and back at me. Both of us were dead serious. "You believe this guy?" Tommy asked Freedom, sticking his thumb out at
me. Wait a second. Wait.
What?
I thought the horse was named Liberty.
The horse is Liberty. Freedom is the girl in the class who likes Rush Limbaugh.
Come on. Oh my God. I'm so fucking confused.
Come on.
Oh, you didn't catch that, Cody?
What the
You didn't
fuck?
Catch that? You
None
didn't
of
catch
us
that?
Caught that. None of
oh,
us
yeah. Oh. But maybe I skipped ahead a little much, but yes, Freedom is the girl who's immediately on board for all of his weird-ass bullshit.
That's great.
Fuck, man.
Cody, it's called subtext.
Like,
it's called subtext,
I don't
okay?
Think it is.
Cody, I know I that don't you don't you are text. You aren't an author like me, so you don't understand the complexities of literature. But when you want to say that a character is good, you name her Liberty and then people or Freedom, I forget which. But either way, people know they're a good guy.
I see.
Do you see?
It's subliminal.
It's exactly. Exactly. It's like, I don't know. If I say it's like Nietzsche, enough people probably haven't read Nietzsche that they'll just assume that I'm not lying. So
it
I'm
is
just gonna
like
say
it.
It's like Nietzsche. Yeah.
No, it's like you fucking name your character Shepherd or whatever.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. You name your character Shepherd. Because he's hot and he fucks like a stallion. Mm-hmm. That's why you would do that as an author.
Because he's very woolly.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's probably time for another ad break.
It is.
Let's just do that.
Get the fuck out of here, Rush.
Mm-hmm. The evidence keeps pouring in. At this point, the facts are undeniable. It's an open and shut case. Monopoly Go is the most fun you can have in a mobile game. Millions of people pass Go every day because this game is always bringing something new to the table. Countless crazy tournaments you can join with your friends as partners or teams. Constantly changing challenges like money sprees or treasure hunts that keep it fresh with new wild mini-games. Timed events offering bonuses like massive multipliers or rent frenzies to help you get huge rewards. And there's so many rewards to discover. Rare stickers you can trade with friends to complete albums, delightful emojis to taunt people with when you raid their riches, unique playing pieces, and so much more. The verdict is in with Monopoly Go. There's something new to discover every time you play. So don't miss out. Go download it now for free on the App Store and Google Play.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV True Crime Podcast, To Live and Die in L.A. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turns sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I used to have so many men.
How this beguiling woman in her 50s...
She looked like a million bucks.
...with zero qualifications...
She had a Harvard plaque.
...tricks her way past a wall of lawyers and agents.
She's got all of these Maseratis and Bentleys all in the driveway.
Is it like a mansion?
Yes, it's a mansion. ...that this queen of the con uses to scam some of the biggest names in professional sports out of untold fortunes.
About $6 million.
Approximately $11 million.
Nearly $10 million was all gone.
Employing whatever means necessary to bleed her victims dry.
She would probably have sex with one of her clients.
Hide your money in your old rich man, because she is on the prowl.
Listen to Queen of the Con, Season 5, The Athlete Whisperer, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart's Outspoken Network for a year, and what a year it has been. Every weekday, I navigate our rapidly changing world alongside our series of fabulous expert guests. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Woke not just to the latest headlines, but also to the collective power we all have. Woke to the need to build community with those around us. Woke to how to avoid burnout, and woke to the ways we can all find joy in the madness. Make Woke AF Daily with Danielle Moody your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. And tune in to hear the ways I am working to stay grounded amidst it all. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Ah, we're back. So Freedom tries to convince Tommy that Rush isn't lying about his time travel.
Tommy's the hero of this story. Also, like, Rush, just say magic.
Oh boy, yeah. There's something else going on here. Yeah, I love that he's now like he is in the text of his book, sweatily defending the time travel mechanism that he's written into it. Also, Rush, just have this substitute teacher be an inventor who made he can also have a talking horse sidekick.
Yes.
Why does the horse have to be
Why
the
does
time
the horse
machine?
Have to do it? Make
That's
a time
just
machine.
Sweaty and stupid, and it causes all of these questions that could be answered by saying, "I built a time machine."
And
I made my horse smart, because you know what? If you establish that this character is an inventor who's built a time machine, I'll believe that he has a talking horse that he scienced too. It's fine. It's fine. That is not going to be my problem with your work if you do it that way.
That wouldn't be complicated enough.
He was struck by lightning. It wouldn't and so he can only travel through American history. But he also just traveled to Holland. So again, does it just mean that, like, where does the line go there, right? Like, because the people who were in Holland, some of them later went to the Northeast, but none of them ever lived in the United States, but it was like American pre. Mm-hmm. But does that mean that, like, you could go back to ancient Rome because the founding fathers based a lot of our republic on the way the Romans did things? Like,
well, does that mean you go back to Africa?
Right.
You know?
Like, yeah, could you travel back to when, like, the Portuguese first started exploiting slaves from Africa? Because that's as much a part of the history of this country as the landing on Plymouth. Not explained by Rush Limbaugh. But boy,
right,
he
like,
does...
You go to, like the birthplace of Christopher Columbus and just, like, hang out there. Like,
yeah, is he going to, like Genoa?
Still,
yeah.
Still
that is all. This is all part of American history. Is he, for example, going back further than the 1600s to, like, you know, indigenous, like, to Cahokia, right? Mm-hmm. In, like, modern-day, like, Missouri, Illinois area and, like... No, I'm guessing he's not.
I mean, you probably, like, can you go to, like, fucking Greece? Because you talk about democracy? Like,
right,
how,
yeah,
like,
are you... Are you going to China because they invented gunpowder and that played a crucial role in the colonization of North America? None of this will be answered, I'm
guessing. That's all decided by the horse,
So Tommy and Freedom and Rush continue their argument. Hey, I might be crazy, but I'm not that crazy, okay? Tommy said. He got up from his desk and started pacing the floor. He took off his baseball cap and combed his fingers through his blonde hair. He sighed. I have to think about this for a minute. We probably shouldn't show them the other thing I can do, should we? I mean, he seems a little freaked out right now, Liberty said. No, I said firmly. I took a deep breath. I need to finish our story. I believe the lightning created the time portal that brought Liberty to the modern day.
Oh my god.
Oh, this is bad.
Tommy
is bad.
Put
also,
his baseball...
sorry, I'm sorry.
What's going on arguing about the lightning?
This is like, again, just say magic and we're done.
Just say magic and, like, we're good. Magic, science, it's fine.
This. But yeah. Also, like...
He hasn't taught me anything yet.
Very fancy academy. That kid cannot wear a baseball cap inside.
No. He's wearing some insufferable uniform.
Yes, exactly.
And again, probably not horses allowed inside either, but we'll let it slide.
Yeah. Also, like, it's a talking horse.
Yeah, it is a talking motherfucking horse.
Mr. Ed, that's the one that talks, right?
Yes, it is.
Okay.
It's one of the two famous horses that can talk.
And the other is Wilbur?
The other one is Liberty.
Rush
Limbaugh's Adventures series.
Rush Revere books.
How foolish of me to forget. God, yes.
He keeps, this is now like two pages of arguing with this child about the lightning bolt that hit his horse.
He can't handle not arguing, I think.
It's
Don't
amazing.
Put bullshit you can't explain in a room full of inquisitive children.
Like, Tommy put his baseball cap back on and said, okay, okay, maybe it is possible. I mean, I don't think the lightning hit him directly. Technically, a direct hit would have killed him. But I guess there's a possibility that several bolts could have simultaneously...
How?
Where is that possibility?
Causing an electrostatic prism and maybe the positive and negative charge carriers combined with the acoustic shock waves creating some kind of time hole that sent Liberty
what
to
is
the
this
future.
Conversation they're having?
What is happening?
This is a history adventure book.
This isn't even it's not even like he figured it out and he's like got like an explanation for it. It's just like
the character guessing. Yeah,
in it's complicated not even ways. Like,
wow, and we're now explaining how like Liberty when they came for the future met Rush and like how shocking
show
the
that,
world
do
was.
That. This is my point. Why would you start the fucking book in the past with his magic horse and then do this like whole sequence, like show him meeting the horse.
Yeah. It's show,
like,
no,
just
we're not going to do that.
I know.
Absolutely not going to do that. We have an illustration on this next page. It again, this is all just Liberty explaining how they met. Boy, there doesn't seem to be any explanation for this at all. There's just a picture of him holding a modern day iced tea can with an American flag that says "Tuif by tea" underneath it. I don't know why that was put in here.
What's happening on the page opposite from it?
He and Liberty are talking about fucking how
about
he met his fucking horse, right? How his horse came through time.
What
and they
page
met.
Are we on right now in the book?
45.
My God. My God. If I'd bought this. You bought this book so to teach your children something, presumably, and so far it's just been nonsense.
Yeah, about electromagnetic shock waves.
So far, we have learned that the Puritans were just a bunch of nice people who wanted religious freedom, as opposed to religious extremists.
And they wore something different than what Rush thought.
And we have spent pages talking about how lightning strikes could conceivably give a horse the ability to time travel. that is the primary fact dump we've gotten
also,
so far
really
in this.
Really lax dress code at this academy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's now they're talking about when football happened because Tommy's a football player, even though he knows a lot about lightning. That's a boy. This is just ridiculous.
We don't need this.
No.
And like,
when does the history start?
That's a great question. Oh, good. So Tommy gets on the horse. Now we've got a picture of Tommy riding back in time on the horse. So I'm going to guess that's what happens in the pages I've skipped. He's sitting on
like
the back
Rush's
of Rush Revere's horse.
Head is getting bigger and bitter
in relation
to the other.
Yeah, so they are trying to land undetected on the Mayflower. The time portal opened just as it did moments earlier.
Wait, what did he do with all the other kids? Are
I
they
think
just
he leaves them
unattended?
Behind.
Uh-huh.
Look,
cool.
Katie, you're going to have some open questions about this because I am not going through every fucking page of this stupid
goddamn
book.
No, it makes sense. Yeah.
Okay.
The picture doesn't explain, therefore I cannot tell you.
We're not going to be hitting every plot point here. The time portal opened just as it did moments earlier. As clearly as possible, I pronounced each word. September 6th, 1620, Plymouth, England, the launching of the Mayflower. I had found that giving the exact date, location, and name of the historical event helped Liberty get us to where we needed. Of course. Like, you don't need to
directions.
Explain that. I understand why you would do that in a anyway. The sensation of jumping through time was always the same. The rush of air sent goosebumps over my body. The hair on my arms stood on end. And for a second, it feels like it does when you're swinging backwards on a yada, yada, yada. Okay, so there...
Sounds like an orgasm.
He
it does sound like he's coming.
Like, he should have like, never used the word rush unless you're referring to your character.
Yeah. So they have Liberty go into stealth mode and pretend not to be a talking horse so they can sneak on the Mayflower, which is easy because some of the pilgrims had second thoughts. One of the pilgrims, he's William Bradford, who he met in Holland, remembers him and says, "Rush Revere, it does my heart good to see you again. And is this the person you were waiting for in Holland?" He smiled affectionately while straightening Tommy's brown leather hat. "Yes, this is Tommy," I said as I put my arm around Tommy's shoulder. "His parents are gone, so I'll be caring for him on this voyage." "It's a pleasure to meet you, Tommy," Bradford said as he reached out his hand to Tommy, who shook it. William turned back to me and said, "Let's talk some more after the ship sets sail. The captain is very eager to leave." Da, 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 da. Okay.
Boring.
So boring. We get
I know
some,
you don't have an answer.
We get
to
some public
here,
domain. Right? We got like 4 pages of public domain photos of the fucking Mayflower, like drawings of it and shit.
Wait, Katie, what was your question about Tommy?
I mean, we're not going to have an answer for it, but is Tommy just wearing 2013?
No, clothes? No. He's dressed.
He's got a leather cap on, right?
They gave him, they found clothes for him.
I'm going to replace his baseball
look,
hat.
I am going to fill in a blank here and say Rush Revere traveled forward in time, found a pilgrim child separated from his family, cut his throat with a straight razor, and took the clothing from
him. It makes sense.
Yeah, it's a little bit of a, this is also an Assassin's Creed.
There's like, half of the chapters are like really boring, but about aliens and stuff. Like, just Rush Limbaugh in his hoodie running around.
Speaking of, by the way, speaking of fiction stories that did not need to explain things as much as they wound up doing, Assassin's Creed
made
the same mistake as the Rush Revere novels. Nobody needed any
just
of that.
Like, you don't need that section at all.
People just want to murder folks in different time periods. Yeah. You don't need to do a whole thing. Like, that's not necessary.
I wasn't confused. I didn't have questions.
It's like if the Grand Theft Auto series like added a very sweaty like whole fucking series of missions about how you're like a time traveling superpowered person and that's why you never die in the car accident.
Right.
Like, we don't need that. None of that's necessary.
That's not why I'm here.
Yeah.
Not here for the lore, sorry.
Yeah, not here for the lore. Okay. So, Puritans, boy, just a lot more Puritans traveling on a boat. With most of this is not history. It appears to be like them encountering random people. And like, there's like three pages where Tommy meets a pilgrim kid who has a puppy and they talk about puppies. They talk about how uncomfortable boats are, which it's great. This is a shit book, guys. This is a real
it
shit book.
It seems really bad. Like, not like as a history book and as an adventure book.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes.
And it's like, it's just like, is it like a children's book?
I mean, like, does he ever, what am I supposed to learn from this? Like, what am I supposed to be being taught?
You're not supposed to learn anything from this. And look, I'm not going to keep digging through this, but there is one thing I wanted to hit that I read when I was reading reviews of this. No, it's kind of about some of the weird politics. And so I think we'll close on that. But I would be doing a disservice if I didn't, like, bring it up. Here we go. Oh boy. This is a different review than the one I've read, but I have to read it. This is from a review that some like homeschooling mom wrote, I think. Reading the series has given us a nice break from traditional schooling. My kids automatically preferred it over textbooks or looking at encyclopedias. They were drawn into the story of Rush Revere at the middle school he teaches and his students. They liked that there was time travel involved. Yeah, although she says she had a hard time getting into the series. When it came to the history in the books, the narrative did tend to get a bit bookish. On one hand, we got to know many of the real characters that shaped America, yada yada. On the other hand, the characters would sometimes seem to go on a rant, spending a good amount of time explaining historical events and facts a bit unnaturally through chunks of dialogue. That's because all of the bits where he's explaining history read like fucking like Wikipedia pages that were just like copied and
so
pasted
she doesn't
out.
Like the part where you're teaching your children something.
Well, I mean, I think because it's bad writing. Like, yeah, I'll give her that. It's not written. It is bad. Yeah.
Well, it sounds like she wasn't interested in like learning that much.
Yeah. No. But
and it's poorly written.
Yeah.
And it's bad. It's a bad book series. But yeah, so like one of the because it's Rush Limbaugh, there's like a weird bit of anti-collectivist shit in here. I'm going to read from that Chicago Tribune article anyway. Limbaugh, like other conservatives, seizes upon the pilgrim story as an example of the terrible things that can happen when people pool their resources in a collectivist manner. Author seems particularly offended by the idea of a common house at Plymouth. To him, the pilgrim suffered from the evils of commonism and survived only by belatedly injecting individualism and free enterprise into their settlement. And like the basis of this is that the pilgrims had common ownership of like food and fields and stuff when they came, and eventually like decided to give families their own land, and that caused people to produce more corn or something. I think this is all bits of history that people take out and politicize. But yeah, so there's definitely pieces of this that he takes out for his lesson. But I think most of this is basically him writing this weird, sweaty sci-fi story about a middle school teacher and occasionally like cribbing and rewriting chunks of Wikipedia pages and like throwing them into the mouths of historical figures like William Bradford to info dump about the most boring aspects of history. Anyway, that's the book. It's this sweaty mix of propaganda and horse lightning debates.
I mean, I'm thrilled that you invited us to participate in this.
Did you all learn something?
I learned about liberty and freedom.
I learned about liberty and
not
freedom.
The concepts, just the horse and the student.
The people the characters.
Tommy rules. I hope he doesn't change his mind and think.
I don't think he does, Cody.
Sorry.
Because Tommy is the one who provided us with our scientific explanation for the time travel that we absolutely needed.
Yeah, otherwise, where would we be right now?
Yeah, otherwise, where would we be right now? Well, you know where we are right now is at the point in the episode where y'all plug your motherfucking pluggables.
Hell yeah. We got stuff to plug. Check out our YouTube channel, More News.
Do that.
We got
check it out.
3-hour episode about Jordan Peterson.
Sure do.
You do have a 3-hour episode about Jordan Peterson. So check that out. Go spend 3 hours with Jordan Peterson, just like those doctors in Russia who
spent days and days and days with him.
Many days with him while he was unconscious after
they weren't allowed to do that.
Going cold turkey on benzos.
He's great.
If you look at a picture of him from 2017 and a picture of him from this year, it doesn't look like he's lost 70 pounds and also his mind.
And like 90
not at all.
He doesn't look like he's aged 25 years in the last three.
Doesn't look at all like he picked up the wrong grail.
There's nothing unsettling about his tendency to periodically cry at random moments.
It's fine. He's doing
very stable.
Fine. We have other episodes too, to be clear, but
that is one of them.
Anyway, thanks.
Check us out online.
Thanks, all.
I love you all like Rush Revere loves his horse. Liberty or freedom, whichever one isn't the girl. His lightning horse.
Is lightning shockwave powered horse.
God, I mean, there's no.
It merely opened up a portal with its lightning.
There's only one line I can responsibly end on, which I'm glad he's dead. Whoa. I continue to be glad he's dead. If it weren't for everything else, he would deserve to die for writing this book.
Mm-hmm. And book 2 and 3 and 4 and 5.
And all of the, like, 7 or 5, however many. There's too many of them.
God damn it, Robert. Sometimes you really surprise me, and I don't know what you're going to say, and it gives me just the most joy and genuine reaction. Oh, beautiful. It's beautiful.
Look, I'm glad he's dead, and I'll go ahead and say it. You know, hunt down the illustrator from this book. Figure out who did the jib-jab and take him down.
Yeah,
take
find jib or jab. Not sure which one, but it's one of them.
Oh, God. All right, okay. We're done.
We're done. Bye.
Bye.
Behind the Bastards is a production of Cool Zone Media. For more from Cool Zone Media, visit our website, coolzonemedia.com, or check us out on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in LA, and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy, and I'm your host, Elliot Connie. Jay is the woman in this dynamic who is currently co-parenting two young boys with her former partner, David.
David, he is a leader. He just don't want to leave me.
Well, how do you lead a woman? How do you lead in a relationship? Like, what's the blueprint?
David, you just asked the most important question. Listen to Family Therapy on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's been almost 3,000 years, and Greek mythology has proved that it is not going anywhere. But it can be difficult to find entertaining and engaging retellings of these myths that aren't fictionalized. Lucky for you, I'm here. Let's Talk About Myths, Baby is the Greek mythology and ancient history podcast of your dreams. I dive into the convoluted and confusing ancient sources so you don't have to. Listen to Let's Talk About Myths, Baby on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What up? I am Dramos, host of the Life as a Gringo podcast. This is a show for the No Sabo kids, the 200%ers. Here we celebrate your otherness and embrace living in the gray area. Every Tuesday, I'll be bringing you conversations around personal growth, issues affecting the Latin community, and much more. Then, every Thursday, I'll be tackling trending stories and current events from our community. Listen to Life as a Gringo on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.